Well, we finished the book of Mark last week, and ever since I've ever been preaching, I've always wanted to be preaching out of a gospel. And I can't remember any time when we weren't going through a gospel. And I hope to continue that until I die, as the Lord enables. And we're going to try to look at the Gospel of John. Now, John is unique. All the other Gospels are called the Synoptic Gospels, and that simply means they're a synopsis of the life of the Lord. But John was written quite a bit after these first three Gospels, and there were certain errors that had crept into the church, and he addresses those in this book before they had crept in when the other epistles were written. And these first 18 verses of John is the epilogue of this book. And I remember reading where one writer said, the church is forever indebted to John for the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John. And I don't believe there's any more high and holy place in the Word of God than these first 18 verses of John. And we're going to look at the first five tonight. And let me say at the outset, there's infinitely more in these words than our minds can comprehend. And I am certain that I will fail in attempting to preach from this passage of Scripture. I'm certain of it. And you know, that doesn't bother me, because I know this is just beyond me, but they're all beyond me. They're beyond you, all of the Word of God. It's exceeding broad, David said. But particularly, this is beyond our intellect. It's beyond our understanding. It's beyond our comprehension, but it's not beyond us believing. By the grace of God, I want to believe everything in this passage, in the whole Word of God. Now he begins, in the beginning was the Word. Now this is the name John penned when he was inspired by God the Holy Spirit to give a name for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. Now, you might find it interesting to know that the word logic comes from this word, the Logos. The Logos. I've entitled this message, The Divine Reason. The Divine Logic, the divine reason. Jesus Christ is the mind of God. If you want to know what's in God's mind, His Son, Jesus Christ, is in His mind. And when He speaks, the word that comes out of His mouth is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, and we're in the last days, ever since the Lord went back to heaven until he comes again, that's been some 2,000 years, we've been living in the last days. I like living in the last days, and I hope these are the last of the last days. Wouldn't you be thankful if the Lord came back tonight? I'd be so happy. I long to see Him. I long to be delivered from my sin, see Him face to face. But in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son. He said from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. He is the Word of God. It was the voice of God walking in the cool of the evening after Adam fell that was Jesus Christ himself. He is the voice of God walking in the cool of the evening, going after Adam. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ came after me. That's true of every believer. He came after me. He is the mind of God. Now, I love making this statement. I made it several times over the years. Jesus Christ is not like God. He's not like God at all. He is God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is God, and He is God in the fullest and most absolute sense of God. He is God. Very God of very God. Colossians 2:9 says, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now think of that statement. All the fullness of all that God is dwells in the physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Do you believe God's sovereign? I'm sovereign. Do you believe God is omnipotent? I'm omnipotent. Do you believe God is independent, having no needs? I'm independent. Whatever you believe with regard to God, that He's made Himself known in His Word, that's me. Now, without believing that Jesus of Nazareth, the one born in a stable in the town of Bethlehem, listen to this scripture from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth him unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth had been from old, from everlasting. He is eternal God. There's never been a time when he was not. He always is eternal God. Now, without seeing him as what I love David called him throughout the Psalms, O Most High. Without seeing him as very God of very God, the Creator, we can't see the step down he took in his incarnation. If I don't see him in his height, I have no understanding of the depth he went to in becoming flesh. You know what the scripture says with regard to him in Philippians chapter 2, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery. He thought it not a thing to be grasped for, to be equal with God. Now, the only way you can be equal with God is to be God. There is no other way. Who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant. And being made in the likeness of men, being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself. How he humbled himself when he became flesh, the infinite Creator became an infant in a mother's womb. How he humbled himself as he walked this earth and died. He became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And we can't see that step down unless we see something of how high he is. Without some knowledge of who he is, there will be no understanding of the glory of the cross. Let me repeat that. Without some understanding of him being very God of very God, the creator, the one who controls everything and everybody, the one who's controlling what's going through your mind right now. That's who he is. He's so sovereign, he's completely sovereign over the free and uncoerced actions and thoughts of men. He's in absolute control of everything and everybody. And if we don't have some idea as to who he is, we will have no understanding of the glory of the cross. It's who died. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. We can't, until we see who he is, we can't see the evil of sin. Now listen to me. We cannot see the evil of sin. We're clueless about what sin really is until we see who had to die to put it away. You and I don't have any understanding of sin until we see who had to die to put it away. The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And doesn't that make salvation by works utterly offensive? When you think of what he had to do to put away sin, and then for some man to think that their works have something to do with the putting away of sin, what an insult to the divine glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's who he is that makes the greatness of his salvation. You know, I think of that scripture in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Who he is the reason for everything. The reason for everything is for the Word to come and die on the cross to tell us who God is. You know, the only way you and I will know who God is through what Christ accomplished on the cross. Look down in verse 18 of John chapter 1. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath made him known. It's who he is, the Most High God. It's who he is that makes anything less than worship, complete trust, willingly denying yourself, taking up your cross daily, and following him, anything less is irrational and unreasonable. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable, isn't it? It is crazy to not follow him fully because of who he is. Now, in our text, in the beginning. Now, that's the same beginning that's mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The beginning is eternity. When there was no time, there was no space, there was no matter, creation had not yet been. In the beginning, before any created being existed, when there was no universe, when there were no angels, when there was nothing but God. That's a glorious thing to think about, isn't it? All there was God in the Trinity of His sacred persons. In the beginning was the Word. That's Him in His isness in eternity. In the beginning was the Word. There was never a time when He was not. He never began to be. This speaks of the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. He's always been. He's eternal. And the Word was with God. This is very important. The Word was with God as a distinct person, and the Word was God. God was the Word. You can read it that way just as easily. The Word was with God, and this preposition means toward God, inclined to God, face to face with God. Perfect, continual communion and fellowship with God eternally. Turn with me for a moment to Proverbs chapter 8. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. He's speaking in all this chapter. He is the wisdom of Proverbs. But look at this in verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old, before the works of creation. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, when there were no depths. I was brought forth when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth. And my delights, even then, my delights were with the sons of men. You know, you saying, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He so loved men. Even then. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Now, understand this. God didn't create the world because He's lonely. Oh, the delight the Father, the Son, and the Spirit had in one another for all eternity. Now, in the beginning was the Word, this distinct person who was God, speaks of the Trinity. One God in three persons. Do you know there's no human illustration to that? God is other. One God in three persons. And all we do if we try to illustrate what that means is we debase it. This is to be believed. This is to be bowed to. This is who He is. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Not three gods. Not one God with three names. One God in three distinct persons, called by John in 1 John 5:7, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Let us make man in our own image. Who's the us? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When they were building the Tower of Babel, let us go down to confound their languages. He said in Isaiah 6, whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? The Trinity is on every page of Scripture. It's who God is. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus of Nazareth, the one raised in a carpenter shop, the one born in poverty in a cow stable, is very God of very God. He says, I am Jehovah Nissi. I am the banner. I am Jehovah Shalom. I am peace. The only way you'll have peace is to be in me. I am Jehovah Jireh. I do the providing, and I myself am the provision. I am Jehovah Tsidkenu. I am your righteousness. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the one who heals you. By his stripes, you are healed. I am Jehovah Raha. I am the one David was talking about when he said, the Lord's my shepherd. That's me. I am Jehovah Shammah. I'm the one who is always here, always present. The writer to the Hebrews called the Lord Jesus Christ the brightness of God's glory. The shining. And understand this. This is no reflected shining. He himself is the brightness of God's glory. The express image of his person. Paul called him in Colossians 1 the image of the invisible God, Jesus Christ. All you and I will ever see of God is Jesus Christ. Didn't he say, he that has seen me hath seen the Father? That's to be believed, not understood. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. When the Lord told the demon-possessed man to go home and tell the great things God had done for him, he went home and told the great things Jesus had done. Thomas bowed before him and said, my Lord and my God. Here's what the Father said to him. Thy throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was, the same eternally was in his isness. The same was in the beginning with God. The same was. I love that scripture, Jesus Christ. What? The same. Yesterday, today, and forever. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things. And remember, we can't really appreciate anything with regard to the gospel unless we see him in his highness like this. All things were made by him, and without him, I love the way John makes sure we understand what he's saying. Without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him. Hebrews 1:2 says, by whom he also made the worlds. It was he who said, let there be light. And there was light. All things were made by him and for him. And he is before all things. Whatever it is, he's before it. I don't care what you're talking about. Whatever it is, he's before it. And by him, all things consist. All things are held together. Now, John, the disciple that Jesus loved. I want to be that disciple, don't you? The one who laid his head upon the breast of the Lord. The one whom the Lord gave instructions regarding his earthly mother. I want you to take care of her. He's the man that God used to say all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Paul said, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, whether they be visible or invisible, whether they be thrones or principalities or dominions or power, all things were created by him and for him. John said in Revelation chapter 4, for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now this gives us just a glimpse. Just a glimpse of the highness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look in verse 4. In him was life. As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now, what happens if you and I don't have things from without us to preserve us and keep us alive? We'll die real quick, won't we? We need food. We need water. We need shelter. We need so many things. We need air. We need God to keep us alive. And if we were left to ourselves, we'd drop down dead right now. But he has no needs to keep him alive. No needs outside of himself to live. In him was life, the eternal life, the divine life. In him was life. This speaks of his independence, his self-existence. In him was life. Don't you love the burning bush that tells us so clearly of his self-existence? That bush just kept burning. It didn't need the wood. It didn't need the energy of the wood for the flame to keep going. It just kept burning. That's Jesus Christ. He's the one who spoke from the bush. He has no needs. In him was life. He's the source of life. He's the cause of life. He's the origin of all life, plant life, human life, spiritual life. This runs through John's gospel, life and death, light and darkness. In him was life. But here's what I believe this means more than anything else. John chapter 14, verse 6. You're familiar with this verse. The Lord said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way of life. The only people who have life are those who have my life as their life. I am the truth of life. Here's the truth. My life is the only life that God accepts. That's the truth.
The only way I can come into God's presence is if His life, His perfect obedience, His law-keeping, Him loving God with all of His heart and all of His soul and all of His strength and all of His mind, His holiness, His perfect life. This life, here's the truth. This life is the only life God accepts. And if I'm going to be accepted by God on Judgment Day, it's because He took my sins and put them away and made them not to me. And He gave His life to me as my life before God, so that when my name is called on Judgment Day, all there will be is His perfect life. I am the way of life. I am the truth of life. I am life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I love the way he says the life was the light of men. You see, the light of who God is. The only way me and you are going to know who God is through the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you can know anything about your own sinfulness is through the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as somebody finding out they're sinful and then they start searching God to try to find. No, he reveals himself to you. Then you see how sinful you are. Then you see your need of him by the revelation of himself. In him was life. The light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now this light, the Lord Jesus Christ, I am the light of the world. He is the light. How God can look at me, just like he did that woman who was taken in adultery in the very act, and say, "Where are your accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Neither do I condemn thee." And the reason he doesn't condemn is because there's nothing to condemn me for. He is the light as to how that can be, the glorious truth that I can stand before God without guilt. Just like that woman taken in adultery in the very act. She was guilty. But yet the Lord says there's nothing there to condemn you for. He is the light as to how that can be. And the light shined in the darkness. Now, what I'm saying, the natural man will not receive unless he's born of God. The only way you'll receive this is if you're born of God. To as many as received him, John 1:12. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know what it means to receive Christ? It's to believe on his name. What is it to believe on his name? It's to believe who he is. His name is his attributes, his holiness, his justice, his love, his mercy, his grace, his immutability, his wisdom, his independence, his power, his eternity, his infinite being. That's what it is to believe on his name. You believe he is who he said he is. Now, what about these people that believe on his name, which were born, which were birthed, which were fathered by God, which were birthed, not of blood? Listen, if you're saved, it has no fleshly connection with anybody. Doesn't have anything to do with your mom or dad, your husband or your wife, your brother or sister. Not of blood. You won't be saved because your relatives are saved. It's not going to happen. Not of the will of the flesh. You didn't decide to become born again any more than you decided to become born. Any more than you decided to be birthed. You didn't decide that. It happened. Because God did it. You didn't have anything to do with it. You were not born because of an act of the will of your flesh. And you weren't born because a bunch of men got together and said, "We're going to pray until God saves that man. We're just going to pray and we're going to not let God have any any peace. We're just going to keep praying until God says, okay, I'll do it and I'll save them. No. You were born of God. That person who is born of God is the one who receives God, is the one who believes on His name. Now, look in John chapter 3. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. All the light does is expose their deeds as evil. But everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth. You know, that's what faith in Christ is the doing of truth. That's unusual language, but it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And what's that mean? I'm not afraid to bring my faith to the light because it's God's work. He did it. And I'm not afraid to bring anything to the light that He did. Now, anything that I do, I'm staying in the darkness. I don't want to be exposed. But anything that He did, oh, I want to bring it to the light, that my deeds might be manifest, that God did them. Wrought in God. Now, here's the last statement I want to make about this. Been way over my head. Way over your head, too. I believe everything I've said. Do I understand any of it? No. No. But I believe it. I think for someone to say they can understand any of this is proof positive they don't understand any of it. But this one I've been speaking of is the one mediator between God and men. Now, what's a mediator? He's a go-between. He's someone who can touch me and touch God and bring us together. Now, if my mediator was the highest archangel, I'd be worried. It ain't going to work. If my mediator was a mere man, I'd not be worried. I'd be hopeless. There's no way I'll be saved. But if my mediator is this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can touch me and touch the Father and bring us together, what a mediator. The Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank You for the glory of Your Son, who is our Savior. How we thank You that He is the Word. He is the Word that was with You. He is the Word who is God. How we thank You for His eternity. How we thank You that He's the man of Thy right hand, Thy fellow. How we thank You for His salvation. Lord, would You be pleased to give us all, by Your grace, a greater and more exalted view of Thy dear Son. And Lord, deliver us from looking anywhere but Him as
everything to you and everything to us. Bless this message for his sake. In his name we pray. Amen.